It's always good to be back. We were gone for a few weeks. We went to Turkey for the feast and did the tour of the seven churches of Revelation, which was really exciting and in a lot of ways. Contrary to popular belief, ISIS is not running the country of Turkey. That's supposed to be a joke. We felt very safe the whole time. There were hundreds, probably thousands of tour buses traveling around Istanbul and the southern part of Turkey, and you know, beautiful oceans and great food, and it was just a great feast. And then after that, we went to Israel for about 10 days and toured around Israel to the Dead Sea and Sea of Galilee and Old Jerusalem, the city of Old Jerusalem, until they closed it down. But so anyway, if I asked someone here to list the last dozen presidents in chronological order, I'm sure many of you could do it. In fact, I imagine Brent could probably list all of them, along with all the names of their dogs as well. You know, they're important to us because it's part of our history as a nation. And they seem real to us because we have recent and multiple reliable records of them, including videos and books, pictures of them. So obviously they seem real. But in times gone by, the world's seen many leaders and kingdoms that were just as real as you and I standing here today. Except, you know, we don't necessarily always pause to reflect on them. So, a growing number of people today in the world like to deny and refute that a lot of the ancient civilizations, such as the Hittites, even existed, or the Israelites as well, or that they were a great nation, that is. But God has left us concrete evidence in archaeology, proving that his word is truth. So, you know, in my recent trip, a lot of the Bible really came alive to me, Turkey and Israel, and I'd never been before. So it was very exciting. And for those that have already been, I hope this builds on your sort of experience over there. For those that have not been, I encourage you to go. And for those that have no interest in going, you've always got Google Earth and documentaries, and the internet's full of information about Israel and archaeology. So I'm just excited to share this with you today. So today we're gonna dig into the story of Hezekiah's tunnel, a story that unfolded almost 2,700 years ago in the Old Testament, to see some proofs of the Bible. But before we jump into Scripture, let's start by setting the stage of the story. So you had, at the time of Hezekiah's reign, roughly 700 years before Christ, you had the kingdom divided. You had the northern kingdom, which was like the lost 10 tribes eventually, up here. And then you had the southern kingdom of Judah down below. I need to keep that in present mode, please. I got this. I can use it. What? So, we'll get this worked out. For the record, my wife is the technical one. She does work in the tech industry, but I have this clicker, so I'm in charge today. But not when we get home.
When you click it, it just...
That's what it's doing every time? Okay, we're going to see if this will stay in present mode. Okay, she'll run it for me. I'm pausing the time, Dr. Ost.
Yes.
We're going to deduct 60 seconds there. So, this is the state of the kingdom. It's a little easier to look at the... I need a laser. Can you grab my laser out of my bag in the back? So, on the right, you've got the northern kingdom of Israel, which was taken under captivity, and the south is the kingdom of Judah. So, two separate kingdoms. Next slide. So, the Assyrian siege started in roughly 745 BC under Tiglath-Pileser, which we saw lots of his artifacts Thank you. Great. And basically, they were some bad dudes. They were conquering through the valleys and the mountains. They moved north and then southeast all the way into the northern kingdom, which they conquered for roughly 25 years. Around 720 BC, they moved into the southern kingdom. They worked through all these towns that you can see in the brown here. And they made it all the way to Lachish, and they conquered Lachish, which is only about 30 miles south of Jerusalem. And so that's when Sennacherib sent his messenger to Jerusalem and said, "We're going to take your city down." And so Hezekiah basically said, "No, you're not." And he prayed to God, and he sent a message to Isaiah. Isaiah delivers a prophecy that says, basically, "I will return Sennacherib's army back the direction they came." And so as you see in the green, that's as far as they went. So the prophecy came true. God actually sent them back north in the direction they came. He also said, you know, "You will be killed by your own sons," and that prophecy was fulfilled as well. And the records are in the Assyrian records, which is today modern-day Iraq. Nineveh was Sennacherib's kingdom, or his main capital. So there's a lot more archaeology I could show, but I don't have the time. Next slide. So this is at the Israeli Museum in Jerusalem, like not a life-size model, obviously, but it's scaled down. You got the Temple Mount in the middle, and on the left, you have the... can somebody show me how to work this laser, because I'm...
The button on the side
clicks up. So you turned it on. Okay, thank you. This will make my job a lot easier. Do I look rattled? Okay, great. Because I'm not. This is the second era temple, right, built by Herod. And this down here would be the city of David. So the original city of David, built by the Jebusites, was actually pretty small, about 7 or 8 acres. So, next slide. It was pretty well fortified. This is just the left side. They kept expanding, as you can see, over the years. Next slide. This would be an example of the Mount Moriah during David's reign. So he only had walls that came down. They built it along a ridge. David did, and the Jebusites did. But it overlooked the valleys on both sides, the Central Valley and the Kidron Valley. And the problem is the Gihon Springs were on the outside of the walls. So there was a need for Hezekiah to build more walls. The reason I'm mentioning this is because the Bible makes a claim for it. And they've actually found them. So Hezekiah, in 2 Chronicles 32:5, it reads, "And he strengthened himself," because he was becoming deathly ill at the time. "He built up all the wall that was broken down from," let's say, David's time, "raised it up to the towers and built another wall outside the original city wall. Also, he repaired the Milo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance." So you can travel all over the old city of Jerusalem and the new city. They've actually just dug down in sections and found all of Hezekiah's walls. It's pretty fascinating. You can do a tour of under the city that's like 80 feet down, because they kept building up over the old cities as the different civilizations came along, meaning the Turks, the Muslims, the Crusaders. So basically all the footers of Hezekiah's walls remain. This would be the example of his wall. This is how wide it is. That's the original height of it. And it, again, they've got it marked all over the city. And they have sections where you can go down into the tunnels and see them. This would be a second example that just shows the width and the direction it's headed. So the city's kind of chopped up due to archaeology. Some people are excited about that, and others are not. So, Hezekiah's plan for water. 2 Chronicles reads 32:2-4. He's basically bringing water in, right? So, he reads like this. "And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had come, and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he basically decided to prepare. He consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. So again, notice that the Gihon spring was outside this original wall. Verse 4, thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs in the brook that ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? The Gihon spring was outside the city walls and had multiple relief holes punched into the side of the Limestone Mountain to provide irrigation for the Kidron Valley. Basically, they couldn't drink all the water that's coming out of it, so they used the rest to irrigate. But again, the problem with that is it gives the Assyrians an abundant water supply, along with all their agriculture down here, to sustain the army, which would have camped, you know, on the Mount of Olives and in the Central Valley. So they had to build this wall to guard. I don't know why the previous kings didn't do that, but they didn't. So, again, he actually continued the walls out to this side as well and went up. Next slide. So again, this may look like the same slide or the same scripture, but it's not. It's 2 Chronicles 32:30. This one's important because it's another proof of the Bible. This same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of the upper Gihon spring and brought the water by a tunnel to the west side of the city of David. So it says Hezekiah prospered in all of his works. So basically God was with him. And in that earlier slide, you could see that the tunnel was actually cut to the west side of the city. So, details of Hezekiah's tunnel. I think were miraculous. The date of construction was roughly 701 BC, maybe a little sooner. The length was almost 6 football fields long. Now, the amazing part here is that the elevation drop was only less than a foot, about 11.5 inches, or 0.0005% grade. And as a guy who owns grading equipment and does grading for a living, I know that grading something flat over a quarter of a mile is incredibly hard, even with modern-day laser levels. But to do it without that, with modern equipment 2,700 years ago is simply a miracle. It's another proof of God because it's almost impossible. The height goes from like 5 feet up to 12 feet. The northern team was pretty lazy. They were like, or they must have been shorter because it's 4 feet, 4.5, 5 feet. And then the southern team was as high as 20 feet in some spots. So there were two opposite teams cutting to the middle. The entrance was the Gihon Spring, which is mentioned many times by different prophets, and God's servants would visit the Gihon Spring. And at the bottom, you've got the Pool of Siloam, which Christ told a man to go wash in the Pool of Siloam. That's in the Central Valley. Now, TripAdvisor gives us a 5-star rating, so I strongly recommend you take a trip as well. And again, has anybody ever here tried to dig a ditch? I know Robbie has. He's raising his hand. He's an electrician. And I know Sam has here. And Blake. So you're digging probably through dirt. These guys were digging through, you know, solid rock with a chisel and a hammer. So imagine moving that much earth with something basically this size. They didn't have anything modern, that's for sure. So basically, this is just a second slide showing the same thing. It's the Gihon Spring was protected by this wall. It cuts under the city all the way. Now, I don't know if they were drinking too much wine or why it curves so many times. Nobody really knows. They were trying to stay in the softer part of the limestone, or there was a section that was seeping. They were following water seepage. I don't know, but they made a lot of mistakes in this section until they met finally in the middle. Empties there. So this is the entrance of the Gihon Spring. It's actually a shaft that runs down to the spring. It's probably 50, 60 feet deep. It was the main water source of the city of David, really for all of Jerusalem, because it's not a desert, but there's no rivers or brooks. There's just this spring. And so if you want water, that's where you'd have to go. So this is just another slide showing the walls. This is the original walls. This is the new walls he built, and he also went outside the Gihon Spring. The meeting point in the middle where one team started down here, and they worked this direction, and the second team started at the top, and they met in the middle. So this slide shows, this is the actual meeting point where the two teams come together, which imagine how did two different teams work from two opposite ends and meet in the middle, 100 feet underground, separated by six football fields? It's a miracle. You can't explain this by human reasoning. They'd cut too far to the left, and say they had come back, and they could hear each other chiseling, basically. See the ring? This is the northern tunnel, and this is the southern tunnel. So the ceiling on this one's much higher than this one. Something really cool was this. The Ottoman Empire took over from... They controlled Israel for like 400 years, from 1517 to 1917, to World War I, when the British liberated them. So a young Turkish boy found this inscription in 1880. It's called the Siloam inscription. It was carved at the meeting place of the two teams. It reads, the Hebrew's a little rusty, but I'll try. It was a joke. And the tunnel was driven through, and this was the way in which it was cut through, while... It's kind of steel axes, each man toward his fellow. And while there was still three cubits to be cut through, which is roughly a few feet, there was heard the voice of a man calling to his fellow, for there was an overlap in the rock on the right and on the left. And when the tunnel was driven through, the quarrymen hewed the rock, each man toward his fellow, axe against axe. And the water flowed from the spring toward the reservoir for 1,200 cubits, which actually equals 1,750 feet, if a cubit is from your forearm to the middle of your hand, it's about 18 inches. And the height of the rock above the heads of the quarrymen was 100 cubits. And so this was written in around 700 or 701 BC. What's amazing is it basically was buried for 2,500 years until a young boy was walking through the tunnel in 1880 and gave it to the authorities, or they came and cut it out, and now it's on display in the Istanbul Museum. So what's neat to me is I go to the feast in Turkey, I go to all these museums, I find this, then I go to Israel, and I see the tunnel, and I go to more museums in Israel, and I see archaeology from Sennacherib in Assyria, and all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, and it's undeniable proof that God exists, and this was real. Still water flows today. I think y'all might recognize these people here. There's the water. This is the Pool of Siloam. Found some Hebrew women, and that's my brother, actually. So again, the importance of fresh water reservoirs that it provided for the people of Judah, that they had a water source, and it also would starve out any armies like the Assyrian army that came to drink from those waters for their horses and themselves, or for washing and bathing. So this is another kicker, along with the Siloam inscription. This one's important, okay? Because a lot of people say, well, the Bible is the only authority of certain of these events. These names are made up, and it's a bunch of nonsense, right? Well, this is wrong. They found this in what's now modern-day Iraq, but the ancient capital of Assyria, which was Nineveh. It's basically a diary. This is a common practice. A lot of kings in Asia Minor would make these diaries carved out of stone or clay. It's called a prism. It was written in 691 BC. It's a record of Sennacherib's braggadocio accomplishments, right? It says, "As for the king of Judah, Hezekiah, who had not submitted to my authority, I besieged and captured 46 of his fortified cities, meaning the southern kingdom, along with many smaller towns taken in battle with my battering rams. I took as plunder 200,150 people, both small and great, male and female, along with a great number of animals, including horses, mules, donkeys, camels, oxen, and sheep. As for Hezekiah, I shut him up like a caged bird in his royal city of Jerusalem. I then constructed a series of fortresses around him, and I did not allow anyone to come out of the city gates." Now, the tribute given by Hezekiah is then mentioned. But, nothing's ever said of Sennacherib capturing the city of Jerusalem by his account. He says, I conquered the northern kingdom, I conquered all these towns in the southern kingdom, but it says I shut him up like a caged bird in the royal city, because he never conquered Jerusalem. From that point, he heard a rumor, as prophesied, and he went north. He just, he abandoned the whole operation. Pretty amazing. Now, there's more There's way more than this little football size. I call it the Syrian football. But he's got a lot more reliefs and limestone carvings in his palace that we don't have time to show you today. Some other time. This is an example of the city of David today. They're still they just started excavating 10 years ago, so they've already found coins and seals and tops of columns, and they're finding a lot of things that proves that it's Israeli land. But the problem is most of these areas all have neighborhoods over the top, so there's a lot of controversy over whose house gets destroyed. So, what are our lessons from Hezekiah's tunnel? Number one, God's word is truth, and that, you know, you can sum that up based on, I learned through seeing and hearing and touching and feeling and smelling, like, I'm slow, but I need multiple avenues. So when I get to take this trip and I walk through the tunnels and I see the archaeology and I read the word, and the archaeology is not only in Israel, but it's in Turkey and it's in Iraq, it's undeniable proof. Number two, we're delivered by faith and works. Hezekiah was delivered not only by his faith, but his works. Hezekiah had faith in God. He prayed for his deliverance and sought Isaiah, a prophet of God, for direction. But knowing the perilous times were ahead for the kingdom of Judah and his people, he did something about it. He did all that was within his power, as well as to prevent the destruction of the city. He built a wall around the city, basically enlarged it about three times the size it was, because you had people fleeing from all the surrounding cities seeking refuge. So he built the wall and brought supplies and water to the city, inside the city, to give them the best chance to survive. So we should all do the same, because we know perilous times are coming, except mostly I'm not asking you to get started digging a tunnel or just read your Bible and draw close to God. So number three, we need to store up for ourselves living waters. We need to be capturing God's Holy Spirit. We need to seek it, find it, and store it up in your life so that we're prepared for the hard times ahead. You know, without water, Hezekiah and his people would have died. They would have perished. And ultimately, without God's Spirit guiding our lives and his protection, we will at some point fail in the future. So let's all prepare by studying and believing in God's word, that it is truth. And let's do our part to prepare physically and spiritually and store up God's living waters so we can all be a part of God's family in the kingdom and take part in all the exciting works that are to come. And one last little slide. For any of you that were worried about us during the feast with all the violence going on, we were protected by all these soldiers, you know. These are actually recruits. But contrary to popular belief, with all the media is telling you, it's pretty safe over there.